We're going to take the sign ordinance first.
I thought maybe before I get into the sign that I, you've asked me about, many times I've asked about barbed wire fences. And I thought I'd read this to you, and you can make your own notes. It's, I don't have to get out. It's chapter 13 from the state ordinance, and we accept that, and we have enforced that. Okay, the chapter 13 fences, and it says lawful fences, height and barbed wire. Barbed wire shall not be used for division fences except by mutual consent of the owners of the properties divided by such fences.
It's been mutual consent.
Both parties.
Both parties. So they've had some I'm talking to some of them up there that had some liabilities throughout the state with these things, and they had to write a law for it. I wonder if the
Does that also apply to the razor type, what do they call it, razor team?
Or? Yeah. I think some of those guys in SCI would question this between their property and. All right, let me get into the sign ordinance. I'll give you a fast synopsis. I was asked to write a sign ordinance, and when I did, I was for the county. I brought everything together. Okay, and if you remember, it used to be in the sections like AR1, and you have to look in there and find out what that do, and then it would allude to maybe MR, and MR would allude back to AR1, which is one and the same. Just a few things changed. So what I did was I changed it and wrote it, a new ordinance, and the new ordinance starts at well, if you want to start with the new ordinance for signs, it starts at 115, 157. That's definitions. Okay? And what that, the only thing that's changed in there is an electronic messaging display. Now, the industry refers to that as EMDs. Whenever they're talking to you, they're going to.
Just so everybody's looking, the underlying part is now the ordinance, right?
Right.
Starts about halfway in your packet.
Gotcha. I don't know what part they have there.
Oh, so the other.
They got the old one and the new one.
Oh,
the complete ordinance.
Okay.
So the purpose of the old one is to show what has been changed.
Yeah, what has been changed. That's all. Oh, so okay. You really want to go to the new one. I'll walk that through with you.
Because this is amended 10389.
Right. That's in definitions. Mm-hmm. If you look at definitions, you see where it says electronic messaging display?
Yep.
Okay, now that's, again, they use the buzzwords that the industry uses. It's called EMD, so if anyone talks to you about EMDs, you know what they're talking about. Dissolve, you need to let them know exactly what you mean by dissolve. Mode of message transmission and electronic messaging display accomplished by varying the light intensity. It'll dissipate, massage gradually, and then gradually appear, and then for a few seconds, and then leave. So that's what they call dissolve. There's a fade by varying the light intensity, where the first message gradually reduces intensity to the point of not being legible, and the subsequent message gradually increases intensity to point of legibility.
Oh, so that's not when it pushes to the right.
Right. frame, a complete stationary display on electronic messaging display. Now remember, frame gets confused to you. It's a frame. That's the reason they call it frame. It just stays there. Frame effect. A visual effect, if you ever saw the frame, and then inside the frame there's another one. Okay, frame effect, a visual effect or electronic EMD applied. I'll start using that. EMD applied to the single frame to attract the attention of the viewers. Scroll. Now this is one that's not permitted, but you need a definition for it. Total message transition EMD, where the message appears to move vertically across the display face. Transition, a visual effect using an EMD to change from one message to another. And travel, a mode of message transition, EMD, where the message appears to move horizontally across the display surface. Okay?
Back on scroll.
Yeah.
Does that mean that it can't be a continuous scroll, or does that mean that it can't scroll to the frame?
Can't scroll to the frame. Cannot scroll at all.
Can it travel to the frame? Okay. You're going to get into that? The do's and don'ts? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. We're just doing definition.
I'm already.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. Now, the ordinance itself is going to start, when we combined everything together, okay, it's going to start as 115-159. So look at 115-159. Signs permitted in all districts. Okay, you got that? What that tells you is signs permitted in all districts. So I don't need to go over all those two with you because nothing's been changed. It's just been condensed, okay, into new sign ordinance.
What's the difference in instructional signs and directional signs?
Well, one will tell you an instructional sign will tell you exit here, enter here.
Okay.
Those kind of signs.
So traffic signs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like that, if you want to put that on it. Let's see. Any questions about that in there? That is normally self-explanatory. If you can read it through, it'll help you there. If you're ever in doubt, it tells you exactly how high, you know, each sign, what it what's permitted and the size of it, etc. Now, if you go, and I'll just start in 115.9.1A. Okay. And if you look, this is the meat. In other words, you're going to see this throughout agricultural districts and things like that, okay? Where we've combined AR1 and AR2 and GR into one district. So if you had a GR subdivision or someone that wanted signage in a GR, this is going to tell you exactly, in this short paragraph here, exactly how much they're allowed to have, and no off-premise signs. If you notice, I took out the other part of AR1. I don't know if you know in your book where it said exception for this, exception for that, and I just took all that out, and I put in no off-premise signs shall be permitted, period. No matter whether it's 32 feet under or whatever. So if you want to know, if anyone asks you an AR1, AR2, GR, or anywhere on there, no off-premise signs are permitted. So we're not taking them across the counter. You've just approved one, let's see, what did you approve? Three last week, I believe?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Okay, because and I told the sign company, I think it was Dale McAllister, First State, right? And I told him that I want him to mark those signs visually, that you've approved them, and we won't touch them when they're out.
We only approved them for a specified time.
That's right, one year. But when they're out, sometimes somebody's looked at them, and they'll see that don't pick them up because they're...
Oh, okay.
We went out on I don't know if you've been told this, but we went out and we picked up...
On Sunday,
right? And we picked up 218. That's over $5,000 worth. And today I checked and we're getting, I think we got about $500 already in fines, and there's more coming. That's working also.
Now will those people also apply for off-premise signs like McAllister did?
Those people, will they? Well, they won't be permitted. Says no off-premise signs shall be permitted.
This is none. Period.
None. Zero.
Right. Unless they have a special use exception.
Well, yeah. Unless we take them over the counter for some reason. So it's got to be a good reason. So we'll just say that since the ordinance, which county council has approved. Okay. Now the. It goes right on through, and you'll see 159.1B, that's MR and UR districts put together. And everything that's under that, No off-premise signs again permitted in those. 159C, HR and HR2, I put those together. The biggest ones you really want to be concerned with is 159ID. Does everyone have that? It's signs permitted in B1 district, marine district, and urban business districts. And it'll also be for C1 and CR1 and LI1 and LI2 and H1. These are light industrial and heavy industrial, all your industrial places, okay? And all your commercial places. Here's what we changed, so you know what we're... An on-premise ground sign, okay? That's under 4A, signs permitted shall be as follows. And if you go down to 4, you'll see one on-premise ground sign per street or road frontage per parcel, not to exceed the change, 200 square feet.
Instead of 150.
Instead of 150.
And that's per sign?
Per sign. Or facing. Electronic messaging, so EMD shall be permitted. Such displays shall be limited to frames with displays, messages, animated graphics or images, and frame effects that appear or disappear from the display through dissolve, fade, flip, or window shade moves. Scrolling left or right, John, and or flashing messages shall not be permitted.
And you said scrolling was top to bottom and travel was left to right.
Left to right.
So what's scrolling left to right?
Left to right. Left to right. Scrolling is left to right.
And travel's... I'm misunderstanding then, because I thought scrolling was vertical movement and...
It is vertical. That's... No, no. Scrolling is left to right.
And what is travel? I got you. So it can't scroll or travel.
Traveling is left.
Traveling's up and down, scrolling's left to look right.
But neither's permitted.
Neither's permitted. Now the biggest problem we have with these signs has been, and County Council was very, very specific about this, and it's been an argument all around different counties, is how long do you leave that display up there? Tells you right here, and this should be in everyone's mind, and it's, if you're ever asked again, it's 8 seconds. 8 seconds is the maximum that any of these signs should be.
Minimum.
I meant to say that.
Okay. It doesn't say that it cannot flash. I guess if it stays 8 seconds, then it can't flash.
It can't flash.
Okay.
Have to stay there for 8 seconds, minimum of 8 seconds.
As long as it can stay.
8 seconds. As long as 8 seconds. It has to stay 8 seconds.
Has to stay 8 seconds.
Has to stay eight seconds. And there was no way that I could get to the inspector on the street, so I said, we can't carry stopwatches. So the old military, when you bail out of an aircraft, was 1001, 1002, 1003, and at 10, you're supposed to open your chute, hopefully. It went to, and so that's what they're going to do. And if you go out and try it sometimes, it's pretty close. It's pretty close to seconds.
Oh, you didn't stutter when you jumped out, did you?
Oh, man. Yeah, right. Yeah. When the message is changed, it shall be accomplished in 1 second, 1001, or less, while moving parts are illuminated and changing simultaneously and in unison. In other words, everything has to change. Mm-hmm.
Can't come in sections or pieces. Right.
So if something goes wrong with a sign, there's a default that they have to build in that it'll be in one position, will freeze in one position. Okay. Okay, this is one of yours, John. I think you're going to like this. In addition, it's number 5. In addition, each store, shop, and office or similar units shall be permitted an on-premise illuminated awning, marquee, projecting, wall sign, or electric messaging display not exceeding the combination, which we've always asked for, of signs, or one sign not exceeding 150 square feet. It used to be 100. The signs shall not exceed 15%, which is a lot more than you've given, John, of total square footage or wall area where the wall exceeds 1,000 feet, square feet. You understand that? Anything? It shall not exceed 15% of total square footage of wall area where a wall exceeds 1,000 square feet.
Well, if it's less than 1,000 square feet?
150.
150.
It goes back, it's still 150. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, I had...
So they don't even have to come in for a variance now. If it's 2,000 square feet, it could be 300 square feet? Is that correct?
If it's 2,000 what?
If the wall is 2,000 square feet, then they can automatically put a 300 square foot sign?
Yes, I know.
If it's 10,000 square feet, they can put a 1,500 square foot sign.
Right.
Mercy.
That's what you were interested in the beginning.
A lot of signage.
A lot of signage, right.
Especially lit.
Right. So what we're looking at here is a combination of signs, which we've always wanted. Remember, we used to have to come in, they had to get a variance for another sign, you know, on that a second wall sign, where on that, and it never exceeded the 100 square feet. Now they can go up to 150 square feet, just so the total of all those signs equal 150 square feet.
All the wall signs.
All wall signs.
Not counting the ground signs.
No, not the ground signs.
And they can have a illuminated wall sign and illuminated ground sign.
Yeah.
Okay. So they can actually, okay.
Sure. They can burn.
So they can have a minimum of 550 square feet of illuminated sign on the property.
Sure, they won't do it. Illumination, you're saying? Yeah, illumination. Yeah.
Wow. Pretty liberal.
Well, I rewrote this thing about 8 times.
Sure.
Asked Mr. Burrow to help me. He said no. No. But, it took a year to get through this whole thing. Better than that, I guess, a year and a half, something like that.
I'm not knocking it. I'm just...
Yeah.
You know,
I know what you're saying.
It's giving them plenty of leeway. They shouldn't be coming before us for anything.
Yeah. Very rarely. Very rarely. Now, the on-premise sign is still there. The on-premise sign is still there as far as a special use exception for a billboard. Remember your billboards, anything not exceeding 600 square feet total, provided that all the off-premise signs are not exceeding 200 square feet. Okay, that's still the same. You still got the same thing. And a billboard, a single off-premise sign structure shall support more than one sign. No off-premise sign structure shall display more than one 300-foot maximum sign on side or facing. In other words, each side is 300 square feet.
59.1 EB.
The total square footage of sign shall not exceed 600 square feet. So that's exactly... If you look at the new ordinance, you'll find out that that you don't have to keep looking through, AR1, AR2, LI1, this and that. They'll tell you exactly right under what you're allowed to do. Just find the zoning and then go down find out what it's zoned. That's the first thing that any inspector asks or anyone in that office, or if they don't know, we go to the maps, we look at it. And we say you're zoned AR1, or we go to the computer and say you're zoned AR1, you're zoned GR, and this is what you need to do. And that's what an inspector will do, go right to that GR section and say, this is the signage you're allowed to have in that area. Okay, but most of it, your signages are C1 and B1, of course, it's all commercial. And those kind of signs for EMDs, are very specific. And we, I told Mr. Burrell tonight, we have one that's in, what's appearing before you now, that we've put into effect, the EMDs are effective as of today, as of 12 o'clock last night. That means they had to comply. We sent them letters out. We told them when it would comply. I sent a letter from myself and telling them to contact me if there was any confusion. And I think the only one I talked to was CVS Corporate Offices, and they didn't take any chances. They just turned the sign off. I said, wow, that's the way to do it. He says, well, I don't want to be in trouble in Sussex County. Where are you? I said, oh, we're in Delaware.
Question, and maybe you'll get to it. Does it state in here that only on-premise signs can be EMDs, and, or can off-premise signs also be EMD?
Only in a C1 section, okay? If it's C1, there's no, it's going to be right on that site, right? And you asked the question whether it could be off-site, off-premise?
No.
No?
And off, he, I guess you're asking if an EMD can be on a billboard, basically.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, if you're asking that? No.
Okay. So it only, so if EMD.
Rory came after me with that.
So EMD only applies to on-premise signs.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, they've already, to answer your question with that a little clearer, the state has already approved a couple up in, I just got hit.
I was going to say, because that's going to be the next step.
I just got hit with that, and until, I don't know, county council asked me to do something about that, maybe I'll...
I mean, I can see these billboard companies making a lot of money being able to change their billboard every 8 seconds.
I asked one of them up in Newcastle County how much he's got.
Yeah.
$70,000.
Yeah, I know, but look at the revenue you're going to pull
in.
Well,
that's true.
I mean, you know.
10 different sponsors.
Oh, yeah. And cheaper for the company to purchase.
And then not only that, now they have those, what do they call them? I understand they flip like that.
Some of them are like window shades.
Yeah,
like
right.
Window shades, yeah.
That's exactly
that's what they have in the stadiums.
Yeah.
Window shading. That's
a lot
what
of
it's
them
called.
In Florida.
Hockey.
They just kind of, they shift all at once and you get a different picture each time it shifts.
They're three-sided.
Pretty clever.
I don't want to get into that.
It's a triangle tube.
They're all,
basically,
yeah.
And it rolls.
And it's quite an ordinance that is, that's to write that ordinance is going to be tough. That would be a tough one.
Hey, bud.
Yes, sir.
This says,
right.
For off-premise signs, that one structure shall support no more than one sign. So does that mean there's no more double stacking?
Yes, the way it's reading. The way it's reading. But I think the ones you've had were already double stacked, and they came in to get.
So they'll still have to come in for a variance on a,
if they want a double stack.
Billboard.
Well, that's the way it reads, yes.
Right now they're limited to just one.
They're limited to just one.
At 300, 110 by 30 or whatever they're going to have.
That's the way I've read it, and that's the way I put it down. Now,
yeah. A single sign structure shall support no more than one sign. So,
that you won't, you won't need a special. What do we special
I
use?
Guess you need a variance to get a second.
You need a variance for a second sign.
Get a second.
But they don't
premise sign on a single structure.
But to put a billboard on a parcel, if it's as long as it is, CR1, L1, all those. As long as you meet the setbacks and these guidelines, they don't have to come before this board.
No. Well, no, yeah, they got that's a special.
You still got to get a
special use.
That
exception.
Part didn't.
They don't just.
Yeah, they got to get a special use exception plus the variance, whatever they're looking for.
Okay, so this is strictly variance.
Yeah, and they have to look for that, okay? And the special use exception, when they file with you on the board, they say special use exception, okay? And then they'll go on and say, and we need a variance of so-and-so and so-and-so. So they have to file for special use exception first.
And when did this take effect?
Immediately. It was in effect, like I said.
February 1st, last night.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're, signs are a whole new gig now.
A whole new gig.
Whatever happened before, we can...
We can forget all about them.
We can, we have no more precedence. Unless we...
And I think it's making it a lot easier. As you work with it, you'll find out, and the inspectors have found out that combining all that together, I was taking out the bull number that was in there, refer to here, refer to there, refer to here, and you went crazy, you know, turning pages. Whereas now, if you get it in order from 159, section 1, section 2, section 3, and all the way up to 160, and you keep it going, it's right in order for you to be able to find out where it is.
That's great.
You got to use it, you know, like anything else, before you get used to it. And general regulations for all districts, that's your 115, 160. I tried to bump up the dollars and cents for square footage and everything, and just didn't fly. So it's the same as it always been, gentlemen. Still 50 cents per square foot, you know, and...
But they're wishing now they'd have raised the prices.
Well, they shot that down real fast.
But like a business, does a business have to pay an annual fee for their ground sign, their wall sign?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. That never used to be, and it's in the ordinance. And it tells you right in section 160, you know, for when you reapply, that it's an annual fee, and we never did that before.
So you have to reapply for your sign every year?
We send you a bill.
Okay, so it goes out with a tax bill?
That's correct.
Okay.
It goes out, and we send you a bill, and we do that now, and we've got...
You got a lot of people mad, don't you?
Dale Dukes is mad. Hey, I was at the quick story. I was at the club having lunch one day, and I saw Dale walking by. I said, "Hi, Dale, how you doing?" He goes, "What is this, by the way?" And I said, "Well, I looked at it, and I said, it's an invoice." I said, "For your sign." "Why did we start doing that?" I said, "It's right in the ordinance, boss. It's right there."
The one you just voted for.
Yeah. So, it was interesting because it's been in the ordinance for years. It just was never enforced. Executed, never enforced.
So okay.
A lot of revenue, it just went. Phew. So I'd say we're up around $50,000 a year right now.
So, I'm sure that the owners of the business I work for aren't aware of this.
Oh, really?
I mean, have they been charged in the past?
Well, now it's all according to when they put that sign up. You know what I mean? It could have been, you know, McGee's been there a long time.
Okay. Okay. I'd have to research this is for that. Any sign that's erected from here on out. Not any.
Well, no. The signs that started, I forget when I put that in effect, but it's been in effect for quite a few years.
But you never collected?
No, I collected it quite a few years now. It's been 5 years, I would say, since we had the system in.
Okay.
Oh, okay. System in. Okay, maybe a little longer than that, but
so the signs can be repaired. Existing signs can be repainted,
right,
as long as it doesn't change.
As long as it doesn't change, you know. And 9 out of 10 people will call and say, "I want to take and paint this sign and do this and that, and do I need a permit for that and things like that?" And they normally don't issue permits for that kind of stuff. Yeah, to be honest with you, in January. Not to be honest, I mean, the clue you in and removal illegal bandit signs for 2009, you'll find that we picked up, like I said, 218 from January 18th, from January 12th through January 30th. So there's a lot of money there. There's been a lot of fines put out with the... And what happens is if they don't, well, I'll read that to you, okay? You'll get the bandit sign situation. What really happened was, just to bring you up to date, we took 180, once they wanted, they wrote that ordinance, we took 180 days. And after the 180, I warned them, you know, in the papers and everything, 180 days. And after 180 days, we gave them 30 days after that to come in and get permits, and now they're in violation, okay? So that means that, to remove their signs, okay? In other words, I'm sorry, to remove their signs, the banded signs. I'm getting from banded signs to regular signs. And now we go out and we charge them $25 a pop, okay? And they don't get it back. In other words, that's the fine. So we don't have to send a constable out. Before, we used to have the save the signs, and we charge them a $15 retrieval fee in that 30-day period. And what happened was now that we just go out right now and we collect them and we charge them and fine them. And we're finding, we went out this weekend, went around, and if you're all out there, you'll see that we've cleaned them up. Of course,
what are you talking about, just the pop-up signs are putting up?
Yeah, the little.
The little ones are just.
Yeah, little signs.
Just
yeah.
Pop them in around and
yeah. Yeah.
Do it in the weekend so nobody won't.
Right. They're getting a message. We let them go for a while, and then all of a sudden we had to go after them again. So, let's see here. I think you can see this it'll show it right to you what you have. You have a banded sign ordinance that we incorporated in here, and that's under 160 sub I. And I can read it to you. You don't have to go to it, but if you want to look at banded signs, it refers to it here. It says, the director shall remove or cause to be removed at the owner's expense any sign erected or maintained in conflict with these regulations. Removal of a sign by the director or his designee shall not affect any legal proceeding instituted against this violator prior to removal of such sign as follows. The county will be free to dispose of all removed illegal signs and shall not be held liable for doing so. These are off-premise signs that are not permitted, banded signs, the whole works. Sussex County will collect a removal fee of $25 per sign from the owner of an illegal sign or from the owner of the real property from which an illegal sign has been removed. If the owner gave permission for the replacement of the illegal sign, or from the owner of the entire of his business or a development is being promoted or advertised by an illegally placed sign. In other words, if the owner is putting it out there illegally, which we have a case as I presented to Rick tonight, okay, and on one of our other cases we have coming up. So there's been two violations on that one property already.
Rick, Bud, you were saying if someone put a sign on my property, I mean, I didn't know it, I can be fined too?
Mm-hmm. What they're going to do, though, is they'll probably come to you and say, okay, we have an illegal sign here. You give this guy gets popped $25, not you, whoever the owner of it.
Oh, the sign, okay.
Unless the county can prove that he gave
unless
permission.
Unless the county approved, you're right.
Yeah.
Unless the county approved. Gave you permission, like you, that those three signs I had to present to the board last week, I had to go after Dale McAllister and First State to get permission letters so that you had those in your possession in the case, because you didn't have that. That's one of the stipulations, that we have those letters, giving them permission, which eliminates something like putting it on your property there and you don't know it.
Yeah.
And someone called and said, you know, there's signs on my property, you know. So that pretty much covers it, guys. Is there anything that you want to know about? It covered all the, I think if you go through it, take the time just to look at it once in a while and educate yourself to how to use it. Once you use it, it's going to be very clear to you.
It's very nice.
I think it'll be helpful once we get it integrated in the code, if we get one booklet.
Right, and one booklet is coming out.
All this stuff.
I have that.
Yeah,
I
when that, that happens, can we get a copy? Because I've got one that's 16-plus years old.
Yeah, absolutely. I've often asked, I've asked, the last time you asked me, I asked Lawrence when you send out to have these things done, and they're already in the, I believe they're, aren't they, Kelly, in process now? The new ordinance.
Yeah, I think the new county councilman would need them.
I think we're going to have to make copies because we ran out originals.
Oh, did you? Well, whatever cheapest way we can get it to you, you know, at this time.
And that's fine, but can I make a suggestion? Did every sign company that does business in the county get a copy of this?
They did.
They did, good.
We sent it out to them, and sign companies, I would say that of the sign companies that I know of that do business in Sussex County, if not 100% of them have a copy of the ordinance. They have it. Whether they use it.
Right.
They have no excuse.
And if an applicant comes here and says, you know, well, my sign guy didn't know, say, well, he received a copy of the... Do you have a list of that?
And they have it. Pardon me?
Do you have a list of who it was sent to?
No. They normally come in and get it. I would say that for them. They normally come in and get it. They send their staff in to pick up those sign orders. That's their business.
And right.
Boy, they better be right, because we don't mess with them now. I mean, we're out there $25 a pop. I mean, you can put it in as an overhead if you're a business, so it's just part of doing business, but right. Still, they're going to, you know, after a while.
Well, there's a local sign company that recently had put up signs that were in violation.
Mm-hmm.
I think they do, I don't know if they do a lot of signs, but they certainly do a lot of decaling and things like that. So hopefully they...
Yeah. If not, I'll tell you what happens is Susan, I've asked her if someone comes in to for a violation or a sign permit to make sure that they have a copy of the ordinance, and she's been doing that. But it only behooves them to get it, and I've sent letters out, you know, letters way before this, telling them exactly, that, you know, if you don't have it, call. We'll explain it to you, and we'll give you copies of it, you know, and you can, we've done that. Is there anything else you guys want me to cover?
I have one question that's not related to signs.
Okay.
Something was mentioned last week when we were discussing that AT&T tower, that were there some cell towers that went down in that wind, or?
Windmills.
Windmills.
Yeah,
a couple in the big. Windmill. We had one bad windstorm last fall, I think, and I guess a couple of them went down near Bethany or something.
Yeah, I went down the South Shores.
South Shores,
as you go over the Indian River Bridge going south,
mm-hmm.
You look over in that development down there. Okay, all the way back, there was two towers that you approved
on the same property.
Same property.
Yeah.
And this one tower, I went down with the inspector when I heard they were having a problem down there, and that tower was starting to go like this. So it was going down. So to make sure they didn't get a complete failure, they took them down. So in the meantime, now I had talked to the construction guy, and I said, you know, you should be well aware, and he was I believe he was the engineer. I said, I think you should be well aware that we're different than any other inland company that you deal with. You should tell them to be to get an engineering spec for sand and, you know, this kind of soil around here. And he says, well, that's not a requirement. I said, well, I think maybe the board is going to make that requirement at some point in time.
So engineer stamp?
Yeah. I said, because this soil would apply to the standard throughout the West and everything. They got pretty good soil, you know what I mean? Hard back down soil. Well, here, and he said, I thought, that's exactly what he said. He said, I thought I had enough base in it so it wouldn't fall. I said, you can't think. You got to know.
What type of windmill is this?
This is one on the tower.
Oh.
Well, I mean, was it the vertical windmill?
Yeah, it was the vertical one. The three blades that go around like that.
Vertical now, blades, Not the airplane.
Not the propeller type, but there was the other type.
Is that the one in Lewis we did?
What's that?
Is that the one in Lewis we had two of them right together?
No, this was in This was the one, like I said, over the bridge and on the right-hand side of Indian River.
It probably doesn't matter whether they're vertical or horizontal. It was the way the pole was set.
Right.
And the wind just knocked them right down.
Right, just knocked it. Well, it just started just to go, and they caught it in time.
They weren't the ones that were attached to the house?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, the freestanders.
They were the freestanders.
So they weren't the ones where the lady was concerned next door that it would come over on the property.
Right, no.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. And I've often heard this too, that engineers do not, and they've been in touch with me, and I've been talking to a lot of people about it, and they're not too happy with the ones on the roofs either. They feel in time, and they've had, you know, they don't have many statistics because this is new, and they feel in time it's going to be a structural failure. Somewhere in that roof, there's going to be a structural failure.
They just want somebody to require a stamp.
This is what's happening. I mean, as you get into this, yeah, everybody gets their chunk of the.
Well, that's some of the concern with solar. When you put solar panels or tubes or what have you on a roof, then the concern becomes, you know, the weight factor. But whether it'll pull off the roof or whatever. But 140-pound solar unit with 3-inch lag screws through 5/8 plywood will withstand 160-mile-an-hour wind.
Really? I know a lot of people are suggesting, a lot of companies are suggesting with the solar powers that put them on the ground around side. And Lawrence was talking to me about it. He says, what are we going to do about that if they're encroaching? I said, we'll have to consider it as a structure.
Yeah, because you're going to see some
structure.
You're going to see some of that.
I said, and what are you going to do, Mr. Director? Are you going to call the 5-foot setback? And what's going to determine it between the regular setback and the 5-foot setback between, I guess it's the square footage. You know what I mean? We'll have to measure what the square footage is.
Well, I was at a seminar recently that on solar thermal, and they can be pole mounted.
Okay.
Which means, you know, they can be, and the whole idea is that some roofs, you can't, you know, you don't have maximum solar gain, you have shading. And so you can mount them on a pole in the yard, insulate the pipe coming from them to gain, you know, maximum solar collection.
So what do you, can you do that up to 150 feet, or is it 42 feet to...
The height doesn't matter on these.
I'm just saying. But it does to us in the ordinance.
Yeah, there may be some people that want to, you know, want these, and they have shading around their house, so they might want to put it in the side yard.
Yeah, right.
Or the rear yard or whatever. So there probably should be some restrictions.
Right.
I read today in the Salisbury paper that, I believe it was Ocean City, established a set of rules and regulations on windmills.
Okay.
So we might want to get a copy of that.
Yeah, I sent down there to get a copy from the, it was the mayor or somebody, some assistant down there, and he said he'd send me a copy of that. I haven't received it yet. But I know they just adopted that.
It's in the paper today.
I don't know if we need two. Delaware Electric, they put theirs up, and I was up there. Doing some work up there, and theirs put it on top of the building, mm-hmm. and it shook the building so bad and started leaking. So they had to put plates underneath of it now to hold it up there.
Mm-hmm. Did they anchor it to the?
Just on the roof on the peak.
Ah, they didn't run it through the purlings.
No, and I don't know if we need. Rick, do we need to? Or is that, I mean, it was up that Robert Light ended up taking care of it.
I mean, realistically, if it's on the guy's roof and falls off, it's not going to damage anybody else's property in all likelihood.
Yeah.
We were more worried about the ones on poles, because if they go over 40, you know, 50, 60 feet, whatever it is, they're on somebody else's property, on their house. And
well, I guess this thing fall off and fall on top of somebody's car, though. Yeah.
Are you all aware, just to bring you up to date, where we are in zoning and everything? Myself, as the operations coordinator, working with Lawrence Lank and Eddie Parker and Van Milligan, and we're taking single family inspections, Commercial. Okay. Building code. Okay. We're putting building code. We're going to incorporate that into zoning also. Okay. So that that inspector, when he goes out there, hopefully, if this all works out right, we're in the process of doing that right now, of taking one inspector that can come out from the footer to the final, framing right on through to 4-5 inspections. Pull a final. Then you'll be able to get the setbacks, which is part of zoning, and also the zoning part of it. In other words, he can't get out there if he's got 10, 15, and 20s, okay, or wherever it may be. He's going to be able to understand that also. We've got to teach that yet. But we've got, I would say right now, we're 3/4 of the way through of the zoning inspectors, that's what I know of, okay, that are going to be certified eventually as building code. Hmm. That means that now I would have to teach the zoning portion of it, which is a bear in itself. And they just have no idea. They think it's just setbacks. And you are familiar with chapter 115. There's a lot of knowledge there that he's got to know. Let's say he's in the backyard and the guy says to him, the superintendent is, I'm building all these million-dollar homes. Listen, I want to put a swimming pool on. You know, how far do I have to be away from the, you know, what do you need and all this, right?
Got to know where to find it.
Got to know where to put it. He's got to, and he better know what he's talking about when he's out there. So it's not only educating these people towards that. It's going to be a quite a job. But it will. It's going to be called code enforcement, and that's exactly what it is. And eventually I can visualize the inspector going out there and actually finding the person right there, bang.
I would say it would be equally as difficult to teach zoning inspectors building code.
They're very good at it. We're doing a good job of it. They're getting it. They're slowly but surely getting it.
Steps alone.
Well, Van and I sit down. You have two or three zoning inspectors that have had building experience, been builders. In other words, work for builders. So they got to jump on it there. And I've often said to Van and the rest of them, Lawrence and all of them, I said, you know, there are some people who aren't going to make the team. Like, I say that because that's exactly what it is, the team. There's always, you know, when you put a team together, there's some people who aren't going to make it. Now, what do we do with them? Well, those people can be level to a level what they can do. Let's say they can do footers or something like that, and for mobile home footers. They can be put in there and also be put in sign ordinances. The sign ordinance alone is a bear to enforce throughout Sussex County. So we're trying to take the cost, how should I put it, not the cost. The cost is always there, whether it's in this department or that department, but bring it all together into a
tighter knit
code enforcement, so you have more control, okay? But then there's the issue of whether you get, the old law of diminishing returns. How much do you do that? That's what I'm fooling around with now. How much am I going to need? Because you get, you know, just because you're not producing enough product doesn't mean that you hire more people. Maybe you need the IEs, industrial engineers, to come in there and do a study and find out we're not doing it the right way, that, you know. But this is what I'm looking into now, trying to figure out where's the law of diminishing returns when you get enough people into one project. I'm sure, like in your case, John, you have people that go out there and they're more efficient than others, right? Mm-hmm. That's what you try to do, try and get the efficiency.
Put the best qualified person on the job.
That's right. So anyway, that brings you up to date with what I'm doing. What are you doing, Brent?
What are you doing, John?
That's good.
Appreciate that. What are we doing?
Good job.
Anything exciting?
Well, trying to survive the economy like everybody else.
Yeah, that's, I don't think it's going to...
With the least amount of loss.
This is the best time to do it, though. to train these people, because we're not hit hard with mm-hmm. I mean, if the economy was the way it was 5 years ago, wow, what a job.
But you put meeting times on the agenda also.
Yes, I was just going to go over that now. Meeting times. If we suggest, county council has stopped, okay? In other words, they've stopped and took a look at their schedule and said, well, we're going to start at 3 o'clock in the afternoon now and go up instead of starting at 10 in the morning. And the commission, I believe the commission starts at 6.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think I wanted to put it on the table to you guys whether you would like to start at 6 o'clock. But that would take us out. You know, we've got it all advertised up until May. So it may not be for a while yet, but if you approve of it, then I can start having it advertised to start at 6 o'clock. How do you feel about that? Do you want to take a vote on that? Whatever you decide.
It's fine with me, because I mean, that means I don't have, you know, I'm just killing time typically because I don't go home. But I can't speak for the others, nor can I speak for the general public who may not, you know, that may be difficult for them.
I don't think so. I don't think the county council. Do you think so, you guys?
I'm talking about, you know, the applicant.
People are here.
The applicant wanting to come in, you know, I mean, some people don't get off till 5:30. They have things they need to take care of. I don't know. I can't, you know, again, I can't speak for them. I can only speak for myself. 6 o'clock works great for me because that's an hour after I typically leave the office. Well, not really, but.
We get out an hour earlier. If you start at 6, then 7, you get done, say, 10, 11, you start at 6, you'll be done at 9. I mean, the earlier you start, or if you do that with, maybe better on people though too.
I mean, I'm all for it, but I don't know how it works for everybody else's work schedule. You know that.
How does it work for you?
Well, it'd be a little bit. Work schedule's trouble.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I know for probably Jeff to go home and shower, change.
How are you going on?
I don't have a problem. I'm retired. I come in 3 o'clock if you want to.
Yeah.
You know, whatever suits you guys, it suits me.
Well, I told them I'd take it up with you. They asked me to take it up with you.
Is the county looking to do that? County, I mean, council? That's what they want to
do? You can do it. You guys.
They want us to do that?
Well, they're just saying it's convenient to you guys to come in early.
I don't think it makes much difference to them whether
it doesn't make much difference.
Even if we started at 8 o'clock.
They're doing that. 3 and the other one doing it at
except
6.
It's going to cost them a little more for heating and air conditioning.
Yeah, we used to start at 8.
Really?
You start? Yeah. Did you?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
8 o'clock. Wow, when was that?
Years ago.
Woo.
20 years ago.
It's been more than 16 years ago, I can tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Back in the 80s. Started at 7.
Mm-hmm. Back in the middle of 12 o'clock.
You didn't get out here at 12 o'clock.
Not sometimes we didn't.
You guys want to think on it? I mean, that's me.
What time do we get out of Melvin's? 1:30?
2:30 that one morning.
2:30?
Yeah, 2:30. Mm-hmm.
They didn't pay me enough that night.
We had a couple of those Superior Court buildings that used to be on their side. Remember that couple of nights?
Oh, yeah, all those people in opposition standing behind us.
It was 12 o'clock one night, 12:30, 1:30.
Was that Pete's
o'clock
idea? Yeah. Whose idea was that we let those people come in and stand behind us?
Oh, man, I remember that night, man. That was terrible. Was that old place? Oh,
yeah, man. That little place. But then we had some on the side, though.
In fact, you were sitting right beside me.
Mm-hmm. You used to have me in a court of common pleas to be so great and so long we wouldn't get out at 4 o'clock, 1, 2 o'clock. Yeah. First came on in 91. Yes, sir. We started 8 then, yeah. Get out never before 1 o'clock.
But we also had a lot of meetings where we were out in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mobile home of less than 5 acres.
Right.
Done. Let's roll.
Well, we can think of it if you guys want. And then we let you know in the next meeting. Let everybody a chance they want to think of it.
What do you want to do, guys? Let me know.
This one going to affect June? You already got your
probably, order. Yeah, somewhere in there we're already advertising it. But we got to do it because, you know, we are out there a couple months, so we've got to get it on the books.
Well, it would be difficult for Brent and Jeff.
John, too, yep.
I question the people, too. I mean, I guess it'd take all work, I guess, to get here.
Yeah.
I mean, I question the people too. A lot of people work, you know, to 5:30. By the time they got a case, getting over here by, you know, 6.
Okay.
You know.
Up to you, gentlemen, whatever you want to do. I said I'd bring
it. To me, it sounds like a great idea. I mean, 5:30 sounds like a great idea, but I understand their situation too, so.
Yeah, well, make it, you know, comfortable on everybody, so.
I think I'll work today to get here tonight.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you gonna work some overtime?
Work for my son.
Uh-oh, he let y'all did it.
So what do you want me to do, Mr. Chairman? Just table it for a while and we'll think about it, or do you just
think
want to?
Think about it, Justin,
We'll be able to let you know what, 2 week next meeting, it won't be the end of the month, but that'd be all right?
I have it on the agenda. How do I do that, Mr. Burrell? Just bring it up the next time as old business?
Sure.
Okay.
Nobody cares but you guys, so it's.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, it'd be a problem for. Jeff has suggested it'd be a problem for him, so.
Well, I mean.
That's business time that you're forming too, isn't it?
It'd be a little more difficult, but.
I understand.
I'm not saying I can't.
What about if we get you one of those hats with the lights on top? That way, after the meeting, you can go back out and work on your own.
Finish up.
You can come in your work clothes. We have a new dress code here.
Well, there's a good thing. We sure like the commission. Doesn't the commission have well-to-do gentlemen on there, like also retired guys? They don't care what time they come, right? But that's the reason they're doing it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
They're not working men like you and the rest of us. I'm just kidding. I don't know who's on that board. All I know is the.
Well, we can bring it up then the next meeting. Give these gentlemen.
I bet he's on that.
Don't make it hard on nobody.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Think about it, and then I'll put it on the as other business. The next time we get together,
which will be the 23rd.
Right.
Okay. How's that, gentlemen?
Okay.
Okay.
I did my job.
I certainly appreciate it. If there's no other business, we're open for adjournment. Second motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?